Okay, Philippians chapter 1. You'll find this reading on page 1178 in the church Bibles. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. I think I've read this same passage for the last two or three weeks. And we're going to focus on just the latter few verses here. Philippians chapter 1 says this. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. This year we've been reflecting on the theme of living deep with God. How is it that we might live deeply with God, to have a deeper passion for God, a deeper desire to know the living God in our hearts and lives, but also working in and through us and blessing others. And under the title today of Making Progress, the last few times we've spoken about the essential values that we need if we are to live deep with God, and the fundamentals of holiness, understanding holiness and understanding community, that we're not in this alone, but we're in this together with others. And God has hatched a magnificent plan to save all of creation and to bring it all back to himself. But today, these latter verses from verse 9 onwards. And this is my prayer. We're going to reflect on this prayer. What is Paul praying for these people? That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, a couple of questions to start. And the first one is this: how do we make progress in our journey with Jesus? Now, we could be here all day discussing the answer to that. How do we make progress in our journey with Jesus? And we're going to reflect on how we do that from this particular prayer, because it seems to me that Paul, with his experience and knowledge of God, with his experience as he has traveled around the ancient world and met people, engaged with people, seen people come to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, he knows the key elements of those things that we need in our life if we're to make progress in our Christian lives, if we're to go deep with God. But a second question is this: if we're to make progress, what are we aiming for? So I guess it's very easy to say, yes, I want to make progress, I want to go somewhere. But it's important to ask, well, what are we aiming for? And this is the question: what are we aiming for? Paul tells us in verse 10 of our passage that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. This is my prayer for you. In all of this, this is my aim, this is my goal, this is my heart for you, that on the day of Christ, Whether this is, Paul is literally saying from now and until the day of Christ, or whether he's looking ahead to the day of Christ when Jesus will appear as the judge of all the earth, when he's saying at least on that day, if not now, you might progress to that, and on that day you might be pure and blameless. That's what we are aiming for, each one of us. See, we're not pure and blameless yet. I'm not. So I'm hoping it's a matter of progress. And that on that day, I will be pure and blameless. But because of the work that has gone on in my heart and my life from this day until that. So this is Paul's prayer. The essence of Paul's prayer, the aim for Paul, is that each one of us might be pure and blameless when Jesus appears. But in other words, what are we saying? In other words, on the day of Christ, first of all, you'll be pure. What does that mean? Well, very simply, it means you are not messed up by your own action or inaction. So on the day of Christ, this is something about you. It's not about others, it is about you. On the day of Christ, when Jesus appears, you'll be able to stand before him and know that you are no longer messed up. Messed up, not because of other people, but because of what you've done, or what you haven't done. That's what essentially what this word pure means here. It's a very unusual word that Paul actually uses here. But that's what it's about. Is the aim is that on that day, we will no longer be messed up. There'll no longer be things in our lives that hinder our journey with Jesus. But things will be sorted. Now, some of us, we may have the idea that, well, we don't actually have to get sorted and unmessed up before then. Because surely when Jesus appears, we're all going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and it's all going to be sorted then. So we don't have to do any work now. And we might have that idea. I don't get that impression from Paul. The impression I get is that we have to work at our salvation with fear and trembling. We have to work really hard between now and then, that on that day, we can be pure, no longer messed up because of our own action or inaction. And right now, you might be saying, well, as I stand right now, never mind anybody else, I know I'm messed up. There's stuff I've got wrong. And more than I've got stuff that in my life that I've got wrong, I don't know how to sort it out. And that often is the frustrating point. We don't know how to sort out the mess we're in. But this is Paul's aim, that on the day of Christ, we will be pure. The second thing, pure, and the second thing is you'll be blameless. Now, if somebody blames you, that's an accusation. So on the day of Christ, it cannot be said that others are messed up because of you. Yeah? So this is Paul's aim. This is his prayer. You'll be pure and you'll be blameless. So purity is about you and what you have done in terms of your own life. And the aim, the goal, the prayer, the desire is on the day of Christ, you'll say, I'm no longer messed up. But the blameless is that no one will be able to say, I fell by the wayside on my Christian life, on my Christian journey because of you. You discouraged me. You put me down. You said those things, you did those things, and I gave up because of that. You sowed the seeds of unbelief in my heart and my life. But to be blameless is that we can stand and say, no one will accuse me. Now, that, I think that's quite a goal, isn't it? Not just to be pure, which is about us and what I've done to myself, but to be blameless so that no one will accuse us. I think that's an extraordinary thing. And you know, it puts such a sense of responsibility upon us in terms of what we say and what we do to others. Not just other believers, but unbelievers. Wouldn't it be awful if an unbeliever stood before the throne of Christ and said, well, I can see you're real. But I didn't believe because a Christian did this or that. And there he is. There she is. Wouldn't that be awful? Yeah. So that Paul, this prayer is a prayer of passion. pure and blameless, that no one might accuse us. No one will say, I am messed up today. I dropped by the wayside on my Christian journey because of this other person. So that is Paul's heart and love. That is what we're aiming for. But the first question that we go back to is, how do we make progress? How do we make progress to that end so that on the day of Christ we'll be pure and we will be blameless? And very simple today, forgive me, it's really, really simple. Three simple principles. It's the A, B, and C. And I'll tell you them in just a second. But we're going to begin with love, because that's where Paul begins. Verse 9, if you've got that open. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more. See, in terms of making progress, Paul knows that we have to begin with love. There's nowhere else you can start. He knows that you will never get to that point on the day of Christ unless there is love. God is love. Two assumptions, I think, are here. First of all, is that God's love is already in you. When it says, this is my prayer, that your love, it's actually God's love. It's the agape love. It's the love that is given by God to us. And so Paul is saying, God's love is already in you. God's love is already at work in you. But the second thing that seems presumed here is that God's love can abound in you. God's love can abound in you. And you might look at your life and think, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 30 years, 40 years, 10 years. And you might already have given up hope. You might already be sitting there thinking, I will never make progress because I'm such a mess. I've messed up other people. I feel so guilty. I've just given up hope. And yet Paul's prayer is that your love might abound more and more. God's love in you might abound more and more. And it seems to me Paul only prays that because he knows it is possible. He knows that God can take the love that is already in you and begin to build on it and inspire it and change you through what he has already put in you. So God's love is already in you. So how do we make progress in our journey with Jesus? It starts, of course, with love, but then we have the ABC and these three points this morning. The first is this, applying your minds. That's the A. The B is broadening your perspective. And the C, cultivating your ability to discern. So ABC. Somebody says to you, what was the sermon this week? ABC. Applying your mind, broadening your perspective, and cultivating your ability to discern. So the first, applying your mind, Philippians 1:9, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in, let's say it all together, knowledge. Knowledge. Your love may abound more and more in knowledge. Paul does not say that your love may abound more and more in charismatic gifts, that in some extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit. No, he says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. And this applies to our mind, our mental faculties, our ability to think. Now, this shouldn't surprise us. Because Romans 12, be transformed, the Apostle Paul says, by the renewing of your minds. Paul knows it's about the way you think. Now he said, no, surely it's about my heart. Well, it is. But he keeps emphasizing, it's about the way you think. And if we're to make progress to that day, on the day of Christ, when we're going to be pure and blameless, we need to learn to apply our minds. We need to learn to apply our minds that we might grow in the knowledge of God. Now, we've all got minds. Some of us are more used to thinking with our minds than others. But it seems to me the Apostle Paul is saying, if you're going to get there and not be ashamed on the day of Christ, You must learn to apply your mind. Now, I know that some of you, educationally, are brilliantly qualified. And you already have demonstrated you have a great mind. Now, the call of Paul is use that mind. Use the brilliance of your mind. Use your ability to think and critique. Use it for your faith. Use it to say, I do not want to stand ashamed before the throne of Christ. I want to be ready. I want to be pure and blameless. So the love of God might abound more and more in knowledge. This is very simple. It's about thinking about our faith. It's to do with thinking about a faith. It's about reading and thinking about what the Bible says. It's about the search for truth. Do you know, sometimes I meet folk, and even Christians, and it seems to me, whatever Christianity you've got, it seems to me sometimes people are not always searching for truth. Almost like, well, this is how I've been brought up, or this is the teaching I've received. I'm holding on to this teaching. It might be wrong, but I'm holding on to it. And I think, what's the point? You know, I'm searching for truth. I want to know what is true, what is dependable, what I can base my life upon. And we need to apply our minds in order to do that. And there's looking for answers that make sense. Looking for answers that make sense. I'm not very interested in answers that don't make sense. They must make sense. Maybe it's just the kind of person I am. Maybe it's because of the kind of mind I have. But applying the mind, if we're to make it, as Paul suggests, be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, the first of ABC, the first A, is apply your mind. You know, read your Bible, think about it, study it, ask questions of the Bible, buy Christian books, ask to borrow Christian books that will help you, that will challenge you, that will change your perspective. Do you know, I know, and if you've been here for the last 13 or 14 years since Sarah and I came to Evening, you will know that I have changed. Some people didn't like the change and they've left. But do you know why I've changed? Because I've applied my mind. And that might be a scary thing. But that I can honestly say, I've applied my mind. I've asked questions. I've sought answers that make sense. And as a result of change. And I don't necessarily believe things in just the neat way that I used to. I believe them still in the living God. The one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, who died on the cross for our sin, I still believe him. But it's about searching for truth. And I have changed. And I hope you've changed in the last 13 or 14 years. If you've applied your mind, you've been willing to apply your mind. And that is the A, applying your mind. And some of you are going, oh, yes, absolutely, because that's the kind of person you are. And you want permission to apply your mind. And that's what Paul is giving, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge. In knowledge. Now, the second, applying your mind, B, broadening your perspective. And you'll see I've had to twist this just to get the B. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in depth of insight. Well, this is about dimensions. We could go deep or we could go broad, and I'm going broad. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I put up a slide with, do you remember a widescreen TV? And you can see little slots of the widescreen TV. But if you only see a slot, you're only seeing a slot. You're not seeing the whole picture. And it's about perspective. Now, the Apostle Paul uses the term depth of insight, but believe me, it could equally be translated breadth of insight. And what Paul is aiming for here is simply this. The awareness that God's plan is so vast in its genius and its wisdom that a small mind or a closed mind cannot take it in. That's the point. You see, it's all very well applying our minds. But if our minds are small minds, if our minds are closed minds, we'll never get anywhere. If our perspective is broad and deep, we will begin to understand the vastness and the genius of God's plan for His creation. And we must have that broad perspective. Now, I know, sometimes we live with fear that anything will come along that will shake us off our neat, narrow perspective on the world or on the faith. This is the prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth or breadth of insight. So the A, applying your mind, B, is about broadening your perspective, because if you don't, you will never see the vastness of God's plan. Now, broadening your perspective, God's plan, what does it look like to a small mind? You might have suggestions. It's about me. For a small mind, that's what it's about. It says, as long as I am saved, as long as I am going to heaven, that's the neat little view and perspective I've got. And that's where it all fits. Do you really think God sent Jesus just for you? No, of course he didn't. Now, I know there have been sermons that suggest he would have. But he sent Jesus to rescue the whole of the universe. But the small mind, if we don't have a broad perspective, if we have a narrow perspective, that's what we think. We think it's just about me. And as long as that's there, then that's okay. But broadening a perspective, God's plan to a broad or a deep mind, well, here's, how about this scripture from 2 Corinthians? God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Philippians 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ. Look, this is a vast perspective. Colossians 1, verse 19. God was pleased through him to reconcile to himself all things. Go to Revelation. And you have a picture there of people from every tribe and tongue and color and nation. God's plan is vast. If you have a narrow perspective, you'll never see it. And so Paul says, if you want to stand on the day of Christ, pure and blameless, pure because you're not messed up yourself anymore, blameless because you're not messing anybody else up anymore, you need to apply your mind, start thinking about your faith, and you need to broaden your perspective and just understand the vastness and the genius of God's plan. So broadening your perspective, because God's plan is about the whole of creation, not just about me. And the broad or the deep perspective helped us to see that extraordinary genius and the vast wisdom of God's plan. Hope this is making sense. It is A and B and now C. Okay, so A, applying your mind if we're going to make it. B, broadening your perspective. You've got to have a big perspective. I know that might create fear in some of us because we're very safe with our narrow perspective, but we must. Broadening your perspective. C is cultivating your ability to discern. To discern what is best. What is the scripture saying? Verse 10. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge, depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Well, what is discernment? Just very quickly, what is discernment? It is the ability, to critically examine and to discover what is real, what is true, what is dependable, what is trustworthy. And Paul doesn't assume that everybody has the ability to discern. So some people can look at life and they make mistakes because they cannot discern. They cannot critically examine what's in front of them, a decision they have to take, a position they might have to hold. But discernment, again, is applying your mind, broadening your perspective, and then critically examining what lies in front of you. Critically examining the choices that lie before you. So the ABC, applying your mind, broadening your perspective, and cultivating that ability to discern. I want to be better at discerning, at being able to examine and say, okay, which of these is right? And if we apply our minds to the scriptures, if we have a good perspective on God's plan, then we'll be better able to cultivate that discernment, that ability to examine what lies in front of us and to do what is right. So if our aim is that on the day of Christ, that you'll be pure. So that on the day of Christ, you won't be messed up because of the stupid things you and I have done. If on the day of Christ, the aim is that you'll be blameless so that others are no longer having to point their finger at you because of the stupid things you've done to them and I've done to them. There are three reasons why this might not be true for you and for me. Three reasons. One is you haven't applied your mind to your faith. The second is your perspective of God's plan is too narrow. And the third one is you have not cultivated, you've neglected to cultivate the ability to discern, to critically examine. Now, Paul is saying, I don't want you to be there. I don't want you to be ashamed on the day of Christ. This is my prayer, he says. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge, depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I trust that this morning you've been stimulated. Some of you have probably been aggravated, annoyed. So be it. Because sometimes to make progress, we have to get annoyed. We have to get aggravated. You know, to encourage somebody, you know, is to give them a bit of a kick. And for some of us, that might be true. If we're to make progress and begin to see what it means to live deep with God. May God have mercy on us as we seek to follow Jesus. Let's just pray together. Father, we pray, very simple prayer, that you would fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. We pray that your love in us will abound more and more in knowledge, in depth and breadth of insight, and we would have the ability to discern what is best. If we're not all there already, Father, we put ourselves as best we can in a place where we say, we want this to be true for us. Do what you have to do, Father. Shake us, disturb us. Encourage us, strengthen us, that we might, on that day, stand with our heads held high, because we've worked well with your encouragement. We pray in Jesus' name.